to my monthly podcast series titled Becoming a Sage. My name is Jan Fried, but you can call me Dr. Jan. I blog about leading, living, and saging, or positive aging. I'm passionate about helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, particularly in the second half of life. I also say that I am out to retire the word retirement. We are not retiring, but we're moving on to something else, and I believe it takes time and intentional thought to successfully move on to what's next in life. Today, I'm interviewing Carol Orsborn. Carol is the author of over 25 books for and about the Boomer generation. Her most recent book, The Spirituality of Age, A Seeker's Guide to Growing Older, won gold in the 2015 Nautilus Book Awards in the category of Aging Consciously. Carol is the founder and editor-in-chief of Fierce with Age, the digest of Boomer wisdom, inspiration, and spirituality. So for more information about Carol, please refer to her bio attached to this podcast. Today we're going to focus on the Boomer generation and what we all need to know. So welcome to the series, Carol.
Thank you so much, Jan. It's wonderful to be talking to you today.
I first met Carol, several years ago at the Saging International Conference. And Carol is very engaging, very informed. And so I definitely am thrilled to be able to interview Carol today. So I just have a few questions that I'm sure I'll be probing for some specifics along the way. But I definitely read and appreciate your newsletter, Fierce with Age. So what does it mean to be fierce with age?
Well, I guess let's start by saying my goal is not to become serene with age, or even if it were a goal, I don't think it's achievable. I think being serene with age is something that was foisted on older people to get us to shut up and go to the margins. So while I don't mind the idea of being serene sometimes and peaceful sometimes, sometimes I want to have the freedom to overturn the apple cart, kick up a fuss, be a troublesome person. I want to be fully alive as much as possible for as long as I live.
I love that. So in your own life, what are some personal examples where you have been fierce with age? I mean, anything immediately come to mind?
Well, the very first thing that came to mind is I'm in a silver sneakers class, and I'm one of the, I'm almost turning 70, but even so, I'm one of the younger people in the class. And we were, we're at the Y, and so there's aerobics classes with the young moms who always sort of hold sway. And we share a room. They're before us, and they were being later and later and later, and expected us to sort of sit there placidly out in the hall, not kicking up a fuss. But they didn't know who I was. I stormed into their class before it was over. I didn't storm in at first. I came in nicely at first, but when I was told that they got started late and they were sorry and we could wait, this was a pattern that was going on, and I recognized it as disrespect. And I did end up walking their teacher to the office and prevailed. They gave the young moms a different room to be in so that we wouldn't overlap, and I got giant apologies. So, you know, they can't make assumptions anymore. And the problem is like when you do act up and act out, then you're considered cranky or eccentric or something like that. But I'm willing to live with whatever label they want to give me. It's not what they think of me anymore. It's that I continue to be a powerful person in my own right.
I love that. I think that's a perfect example. And, you know, really standing up for our rights and not being pushed to the margins. I think that's a very good point. In what ways can older age comprise a specific life stage with value and meaning of its own?
Well, see, that's the point. I think one of the reasons that we become what people think they can marginalize us is that there's been this thought in society as a whole, but also in the gerontology circles, many of them, that until recently, that when you hit 60, let alone 70, all that you have ahead of you is this vast wasteland with nothing in it. You know, it's just a slow, sad decline, and the, you know, kind of a slow fade is maybe with a small smile on your face is the best you can hope for. Bob Weber and the whole conscious aging movement, and myself, Connie Goldman. There's many of us, Rick Moody, who are saying, wait a minute, there is this life stage with a value and purpose of its own. While I am willing to go to fight when I want to, one of the great points about older age is being able to choose also to be serene, also to, you know, sit and enjoy the river without having judgment about that either. So it's really about freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point. Well, I know you mentioned Bob, and I interviewed him, and he'll be on my podcast series also. And you wrote a book with him, and I mentioned it in the introduction. What are some of the highlights from that book that you would want to share with our listeners? Because most of us are boomer generation. So
right. Well, Bob and I are both boomers, and we met at a moment where we were really torn between, we were already in our late 60s, or mid-60s, I guess. The question was that we shared, he's a psychiatrist and associated with Harvard and a former Jesuit. I have my doctorate in history and critical theory of religion. We'd always gone to the American Society of Aging as experts. But that particular year, which is 2011, was the first year that we went and thought, wait a minute, we're in the demographic we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The question that was on both of our minds was, okay, do I have to keep on driving myself and pushing myself in my career? Since I am at the peak of my career, do I have to make that contribution? Or do I have the right to take a time out and kind of reimagine what it is I want to be doing for the rest of my life? And what if what I want to be doing for the rest of my life is more internal and more creative and not quite as productive? So that's really the basis of the book that we decided to write together. We talked to each other once a week for several years and remain friends about the questions of aging that were on our mind. So I would say the biggest thing that he and I share in common is this notion of waking up from illusion, of seeing that young people are in many ways trapped by almost a dreamlike state of feeling like they have to do things in certain ways, and that if they do, that things are going to work out a certain way. And, you know, we're kind of kept in line in a way for most of our lives, just trying to make a living and trying to raise our kids and everything. And this notion that if we can wake up at some point to how much of it didn't, you know, much of it delivered what we wanted, but there's a, you know, good percentage that we were just doing because we were told we had to do it or thought we had to do it. And so this idea of waking up and finding, you know, that this life stage has a wildness to it. I don't mean that we have to be wild, but there is sort of this sense of adventure and not really knowing what it has to be, that it doesn't have to be the old age our parents experienced, but it also doesn't have to be what gerontology thinks we ought to be doing either. So,
right.
We're very much continuing to do the boomer thing of challenging the status quo.
Right. Well, and I think that's a very good point. And I love the subtitle, A Seeker's Guide to Growing Older, because, you know, just as you said, it's so interesting. I mentioned that I'm out to retire the word retirement. You know, so many younger people say, oh, I can't wait to retire. Or, so you're so lucky you're retired. When really we should all, at every stage, we should be thinking about, what is it we want to do? And as you pointed out, we don't have to keep doing what we have been doing, but it's still about purpose and meaning and values, and those change, you know, or they can change. So I think that's a very good point.
Well, in my own mind, I've just replaced the word retirement with freedom.
Yeah, I like that.
I get a little nervous about positive aging, I have to say.
Well, go ahead. Tell me more about that.
Well, I just think that the thought that you have to be active and productive until the day you die, according to what gerontologists define as successful aging, is also a certain kind of trap. Because I know plenty of older people who are afraid to quit their jobs or afraid to stop and smell the roses or just hang out and read a good book, you know, and do some of the things that freedom would allow you to do because they're afraid that they're not fulfilling their potential anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So this is I think what I'm teaching and what I'm exploring in my own life is a different kind of fulfillment of the human potential, one that includes appreciating, praying, meditating, long walks, non-productive time, and but not feel that that means that you are, you know, not holding up your part and responsibility to society. Because, I mean, if you look at the monastic tradition that you know, that Bob came out of, for instance, there's also a tremendous value in people who spend a lot of their time appreciating in prayer, in contemplating. I mean, that has a value of its own. What I think none of us want to see is people who have died prematurely while still alive.
Yes.
You know, sort of staring blankly out the window and just waiting to die. That is not the same as being in a contemplative, meditative mode, but I think a lot of people think it looks the same, so it must be the same, and so they never give themselves a break to stop and take a breath and ask, hey, you know, how would I like to spend the afternoon just reading?
Yeah. No, that's an excellent point. And I know that when we were at the Saging Conference, some of us, and I think you were there too, we were trying to brainstorm what's a better word than retirement. Because, you know, even if you look up retirement in the dictionary, then the definitions are negative for the most part, you know, put away, obsolete, you know, end of life, you know. But so that's a very good point. Well, what does it mean to be growing older in these particular times, you know, in terms of gifts and challenges, you know, what does that mean? Because I know you've done so much exploring in this area.
Okay, just before I get there, I just want to say one thing, which is you mentioned end of life as a negative, and that's one of the things that conscious aging is really teaching, and that is that there's a value to mortality, that the poignancy and the urgency and the notion that our time is finite really provides us with an opportunity to think about legacy.
Yes.
And just enjoy the present moment and to think about death and dying. So, you know, really what conscious aging about is getting out of denial over even the end of life as being a negative. And not that I'm death oriented or I want to die, but it's inevitable. And so I don't want the end of my life to be nothing but a prolonged midlife. I want to know what age, what it feels like to be older than midlife and not just have a never-ending middle age. But to your next question.
No, but that's an excellent point. Yeah. And again, I know with Saging, you know, we emphasize inner work where so much of society emphasizes external work. You know,
exactly.
Look younger and, you know, anti-aging creams and methods and, you know, whatever. So that's a very good point.
All the commercials, you know, they show an older person. Well, they've either just fallen down and can't get up, so, you know, they're really messed up. Or if they're a positive example, they have them climbing to the top of a mountain or you know, strolling through their own vineyard or something like that, which
right.
is not realistic for most of us either.
Right.
So, you know, we're saying don't romanticize, don't revile what's real. You know?
Right.
Okay, so our times, I don't know about you, and I don't know about your listeners, but there's a whole lot of us that expected us at this point of our life to be taking a victory lap. You know, we thought that we were going to leave the world in a better place, that we would feel good about our contributions, and feel that our generation was going to have a happy ending, both personally and generationally. And, you know, regardless of how you feel about who won or who didn't win, I think we will all agree that that there are things happening now that we have never seen before in our lifetime, and that are giving many of us more than pause for thought. There's a lot of soul searching going on right now. So I am amongst those who felt like, wow, I as awake as I thought as I was, as involved as I thought as I was taking a lot for granted. And I don't want my legacy to go down in smoke. There's things that I really care about that I'm putting more time into, and I'm being more courageous about speaking out loud about the stands that I'm taking and what I'm supporting. So
Well, I know. I appreciate what you write in your, you know, Fierce with Age, you know, the newsletter or digest. I love what you're sharing with the rest of us. So I would encourage my listeners to look that up. But I agree with you. I mean, it is very interesting. And, you know, what kind of responsibility do we have? And what should we be doing? I think that encourage, I think, is a key word there, too.
Yes. But I think a lot of us, how can I put this? I love what Joan Chittister said. She's an author. Uh-huh. And she said that a regret is the sand trap of the soul. It's serious introspection, but it can really take you down and bog you down. I'm really glad you mentioned my newsletter, Fierce with Age, because sometimes I think we think that we haven't done enough and what we have to do is something other than what we've already done and do it bigger and better. And so I know after the election results came in, I thought I was going to go and volunteer and knock on doors and all kinds of things. But that, you know, the truth about aging and being older is that I don't have the energy I once had. Mm-hmm. I went to some protest marches. I went to the Women's March and things like that. Just felt exhausted. And so I thought to myself, well, gee, you know, what is my purpose at this age? And I realized that one of my purposes is to be here as somebody that teaches other people not to romanticize aging, not to just have an extended midlife, not to allow yourself to get exhausted and feel bad about yourself. And I was doing that. I was already doing that. I just hadn't appreciated it. So uh-huh. I think, you know, some of what's been going on with me since November has been trying to take more responsibility for the things that I can do, but to accept the things that I can't. And as the 12-step programs say, the wisdom to know the difference.
Right.
And, you know, I think older age is really a time for discernment because we don't have the unlimited energy and we don't have the unlimited idealism of youth. We've just seen too much.
Uh-huh.
So it's really important to be judicious with your time and with your choices.
Right. Yeah. So even though we don't have those responsibilities, we do have more freedom, as you said, over our time and schedule and how we structure our lives and choices that we make. So that's excellent. Well, tell us about some, you know, what are you working on now? I just know you, and you say you're not energetic, but you're very energetic. So in terms of what projects are you working on now?
Okay. Well, first of all, let me just say in terms of energetic, I decided a while ago that I would go to one conference a year. I used to want to go to every conference that came. And it's hard to find a conference in your field and to choose not to go to it, you know, to make a choice like that. So, you know, it's all relative. I'm probably busier than some other people, but I'm nowhere as busy as I used to be. On the most personal level, I'm very excited because I've adopted a senior dog. We have a shelter called Old Friends Senior Dog Sanctuary that's kind of like assisted living or even actually more like a nursing home for elderly dogs. When people pass away, they often can't find anybody to take their dog.
Oh, interesting.
Whatever. And there's this amazing facility in Mount Juliet, just 15 miles from me, that takes all the old dogs from all the shelters, no matter what shape they're in, even if they have diabetes or three legs or they're blind or whatever. And so I'm so excited. We got our first dog, and it's a 13-year-old Maltese, just a beloved dog to join our other two, which are also getting older.
Uh-huh.
And I've just found my calling in that. So that's on a very personal level.
Oh, that's interesting. Yes.
Professionally, I have a new book that's being shopped around right now by my agent. It's really taking a new look at aging post November 2015 election. 2016 election, to really take a look at the sort of perennial optimism of the boomer generation and to take a new look at it to see if it's merited or if it could require some sophistication, you know, at our age and stage in life. And I'm finding that I'm hardly referring to or connected to anything I've ever written before. It's brand new writing and thinking. And, you know, when you've written 30 books, it's quite a surprise and quite a joy to suddenly be having brand new thoughts and insights. And I've been inspired to revisit our generation's ethos at this stage of our life by looking at some people who came from other generations that came of age in harder times, and one woman in particular. So I don't know, I just feel like my vision has opened up, and I'm, as much as I was seeing before, I'm seeing new levels and depths. And I mean, that's an exciting thing to be doing on the verge of 70s, to be feeling brand new about something.
Oh, it is. And I've always said writing, you know, is such a stimulating exercise. I haven't I've written 5 books, not 30, but I mean, it's such a way to keep learning and growing and thinking, and adds to conversations. And I just think it's wonderful. So,
well, I have to get to the point where I realize that whether I get published or not, I need to write.
You needed to say it. Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, the truth of the marketplace right now is publishing is in trouble anyway. But, you know, they really don't want to do very many books about older people. And they certainly don't want to do older books about older people who are coming to terms with a fierce reality.
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. Well,
so
good for you.
You know, I just really have to write for my own gratification. And even though I've had publishers on every one of my 30 books, I might explore the world of self-publishing. Who knows? I mean, if my agent comes back, I'm without a, you just don't know.
No.
I'm willing to try new things. Old dog, new tricks.
Exactly. I mean, I think I have another book in me. It's going to be somewhat on this topic, I think. I don't know what the niche is yet, but I met with a woman yesterday, and she totally believes, she's written 3 books, I think, but she totally says the whole industry has changed so much that self-publishing is just so easy, and she's convinced it's the way to go. So anyway, you won't lose, and it'll be wonderful. Well, I'm excited to read that when it comes out. What else should I have asked you that you think our listeners need to know? I didn't mention this earlier, but you know, you've appeared on Oprah, the Today Show, CBS Morning News, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. I mean, you really have been kind of a voice for our generation. So what would be some of the, you know, themes or highlights or major points that you think we should know and remember?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the first thing I'm going to say is that I don't think my message would get me on any of those shows anymore. I really don't. I think our society has such a relentless drumbeat towards older people not complaining, not upsetting any apple carts. Just be, you know, just go, be quiet and go away. You know? And if you can come up with a message that can, you know, that reiterates that by saying, you know, everything's fine, we're fine, you know, I'm just right now, I just want to, if I was going to speak to my friends, I would say, look, we've invested a lot in showing the fact that aging could be a positive experience. We need to balance that now, because we're aging in difficult times. And, you know, I don't want to hide in aging. I don't want to sugarcoat how upset I am about things. I would love to have a happy ending to my life, but I think that there's something more important, is what I'm discovering, more important than happiness, more important than satisfaction, and that is to be authentic and to be true and to be real. And so I'm in this, like, sort of fierce truth-telling mode right now, and I'm kind of bracing for it, Jan, because you know, I don't think people really, really want the unvarnished truth about ourselves or about our times. But it's coming. I can't keep my mouth shut. So, you know, don't you sometimes wish you could just say, oh, why can't I just be happy going on cruises?
Yeah, I know. And some people try that. And I think, to me, it often, I mean, I'm all for relaxation, but One trip after another trip after another trip seems a little much like somebody's trying to escape something or be in denial, you know, when
God, well, we went on a cruise, Jan, and the older folks, the whole time, all they did was complain about the cruise.
I know.
Oh, the cruise I went on last month.
Yeah.
You know, the shrimps were bigger.
Or, right.
You know, whatever. You know, Dan and I were like, wow, we're on a cruise. This is so cool. We stopped talking to everybody because they were just, so, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, complaining or whining.
No.
I'm talking about truth telling. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest challenge is to both tell the truth and to be authentic and to stay passionate about life. If
uh-huh.
you can do all of that, that to me is what it's all about.
Uh-huh. I am making notes. That is good. And stay passionate about life. Yep, I agree.
Cool.
Yeah.
I thought you would.
Yes, I totally agree with that. Well, Carol, our time has come to a close, but, you know, thank you very much. And, you know, my whole goal in kind of all of this is to try to shed light on the fact that the rest of life can be the best of life if we, you know, can tell the truth, stay authentic, and stay passionate about life.
I'm with you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Jan. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.